between that pile of laundry that never seems to get any smaller and all those incoming emails and oh, so many Zoom calls, you've got plenty on your to-do list. So give yourself one less thing to worry about and let DoorDash take care of your next meal. You know how this goes. You want Chinese, kids want burgers, everybody wants Froyo. Well, instead of just arguing about it, there is something for everything on DoorDash. So get everybody everything they want. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is really easy. You just open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and you enter the code STAPLES. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code STAPLES. Don't forget, that's code STAPLES for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. So, yeah, I will have a bacon double cheeseburger, and I want lots of mayonnaise on that. Just a ton of, give me all the mayonnaise you can get. Yeah. Oh, this mic's on? Oh, you weren't supposed to hear that. I hate mayonnaise. It's part of my deal. It's my shtick. It's my thing. I don't like mayonnaise. You didn't hear that. That's not true. I was taken out of context. Okay. Maybe this mic is on. Welcome to the Andy Staples Show. I guess any mic really is a hot mic. And I think that's something that Nebraska President Ted Carter learned on Tuesday when he was talking before a press conference to Bob Henson, who's the director of the National Strategic Research Institute. And Ted broke a little news, or at least it seemed like he did, on Tuesday morning. As of Tuesday night, as I'm recording this, the news has not happened yet. We still think it's somewhat imminent, whether that happens on Wednesday or maybe a little later, but it does seem imminent. Here's what Ted said right before the press conference into a mic that most certainly was live.
Everything that's going on here, and you're familiar with what we're getting ready to announce at Husker Big Ten football tonight.
Oh, really? I heard that that was happening. I didn't. I think there's a lot of anticipation about that. Good for you. Maybe that'll get off your plate.
Well, it never will, but it's a good move in the right direction.
Right.
So we have our professors here. Everybody that's
we have a few. I think.
I do particularly enjoy Bob Henson's, oh, really? Like, Bob knows he's getting a little taste of the news beforehand and doesn't realize everybody else is, too. So that was particularly interesting. KETV in Lincoln is the station that brought you that audio. Somebody plugged into what they call the malt box. That's how press conferences work. There's a microphone in front of the speaker, and there's a wire that runs into the back, and there's what's called a malt box, which has a bunch of places where you can plug microphones or XLR cables in, and you can listen without having to put your own microphone up. You know, the old days, you'd see like 70 different microphones with the speaker. Well, they figured out they just have the one microphone. Everybody plugs into the malt box. They get nice, clean sound. Unfortunately, if you talk into that mic before the press conference starts, there's a very good chance somebody's plugged into that malt box and they're recording, which is what happened to the gentleman in Nebraska. Now, it's been a wild week for microphones in the state of Nebraska. You had those guys, and then you had the guy at the Lincoln City Council meeting last week who said, we can't call chicken tenders boneless wings anymore. And listen, I agree completely with him. He was absolutely right. Feel free to call them saucy nugs or trash, but don't call them boneless wings. They're not. Wings have bones. And so microphones in Lincoln, Nebraska have gotten a lot of action. But there was no action as of Tuesday night in the Big Ten. No official word that there's going to be a season. We think there is going to be a season. We think that season will start sometime in October. The date that keeps getting thrown around is October 17th. The idea, I think, would be an 8-game season and then a Big Ten championship game. And I know there will be some resistance to this, but probably that syncs up with the other leagues. And if the Big Ten champion is really good, there's a very good chance the Big Ten champion makes the college football playoff. And I know some people say, well, they're not doing the same thing as the other leagues. But I don't think the ACC or the SEC or the Big 12 is going to stand in anybody's way here, because I think they also realize their seasons could be a little bit wonky here. You know, you're seeing potentially more postponements, cancellations. You've seen quite a few in the ACC already. Virginia and Virginia Tech postponed their game. Virginia Tech and NC State postponed their game. So I think they'll be a little more forgiving about that than people realize, mostly because they're kind of all in the same boat here. So I think if the Big Ten can get that going, and, you know, R.A. Wasserman and I discussed this last week, and my thought was, well, if they can't play by October, it doesn't work. And I thought all along, if they couldn't play before the other seasons ended, that it also wouldn't work. I initially thought, okay, well, you could have a spring season, but if so many people were playing in the fall, it's going to be really tough to do a spring season, because I thought you would have a lot of opt-outs, people saying, I'm not going to play until the quote-unquote regular season in fall 2021. So this way you get the Big Ten semi-synced up. And I honestly don't care if it's 8 games. You know, if the Big Ten champ is sitting there at 8-1 or 9-0, and we think they're one of the best 4 teams, and not that our opinion matters, but if the members of the College Football Playoff Selection Committee think they're one of the top 4 teams, I'm all for letting them into the playoff. It's a weird year. Everybody's just doing the best they can. Remember, that's what Ari and I told you a couple weeks ago. Everyone's doing the best they can. But today we're going to talk to a guy who really did the best he could. I think he could have done a lot less, but he was very determined, and he was one of the people who helped get the Big Ten to reconsider the idea of playing football in the fall. His name is Randy Wade. If the last name sounds familiar, it's because his son, Sean Wade, is a cornerback at Ohio State. Now, is might not be the operative word, because Sean Wade opted out on Monday. And, you know, he's a very good corner, potentially a first-round draft pick, and decided, hey, I can't wait for a decision. You keep telling me there's going to be a vote. You haven't said there's a vote yet. You haven't given me any results. You're not giving me any information. So I got to move on. And I know there's a lot of people who are hoping that he reconsiders his decision if the Big Ten says, hey, you can play. We'll see. But you're going to hear in this interview, Randy Wade put a little pin in that balloon, because it sounds like there's going to be an agent signing on Tuesday evening, or at least that's the plan right now. So it may be that they're doing it without Sean Wade. They're doing it without Wyatt Davis, the offensive lineman who also opted out last week. But if they play, I'd say it's a major victory for those Big Ten parents who kept the flame lit. So what Randy Wade did, and people laughed at him for this. He's from Jacksonville, Florida. He bought a plane ticket to Chicago. He flew up to Chicago, and he and several other Big Ten parents, he had some parents from Wisconsin, you had some parents from Nebraska, they went to the Big Ten headquarters, which, by the way, nobody was working at because they're all working from home. But they went there and they said, we're going to stand here and we're going to say why we think that the Big Ten should play. And they kept on fighting. The Nebraska parents really took the fight to the Big Ten. They had their players, actually, the Nebraska players, a group of them, sued the Big Ten. And that was how we found out that, yes, there was a vote. Yes, it was 11-3 in favor of postponing. So that document had to be handed over as part of a court case. So you guys could say these folks weren't going to make a difference, but they did. And I'll be honest, when they started doing this, I wrote a column and I said, the Big Ten owes these parents transparency, owes them information. They owe them honesty about the process that got the season suspended. And I still don't think the Big Ten's been very forthcoming about that. And I don't think that's right. But I also wrote that whatever they do is not going to get football back in the fall. Well, I think I may be wrong on that one. I think they more than anyone else, were the ones that got the Big Ten to reconsider. And so that's why I wanted to talk to Randy Wade about that fight and just about what the last month or so has been like, because he's a guy who is dealing with the situation with his son, which is very different than most people because, again, Sean Wade is a potential first-round draft pick. So he doesn't particularly need to play this season. He's already got his degree from Ohio State. He came back because he wanted to be a captain, because he wanted to help try to win a national championship. And then all of this other stuff happened. So it's a really interesting look at how all this went down and then just how little information the parents got. And you think, okay, well, you know, these are the parents. They're going to get a bunch of info. Well, they probably would have if the coaches had gotten some info, if you know, the ADs had gotten some info, but everybody was kind of in the dark. And that's one thing these guys have been fighting for is the parents getting a little more of a voice. And I think that's a pretty good idea too. You'll hear Randy Wade talking about his plan, what he thinks should happen in terms of parents everywhere having more of a voice in college sports. It's really a good idea. So here's my interview with Randy Wade, father of Ohio State cornerback Sean Wade, and the driving force in the resistance among the parents of Big Ten football players to this postponement. And if it ends up getting reversed, Randy Wade's one of the guys you need to thank. Now's the time to get your student loan payments under control. You could be saving by refinancing your student loans with Earnest. Interest rates have hit record lows, which means it's a great time to refinance your student loans and see if you can lower your monthly payment. If you've been making the same monthly payment on your student loans for the last couple of years, odds are you could reduce your payment and save by refinancing with Earnest. Checking your new rate is fast and easy. To start, complete a few questions online. It only takes 2 minutes. And you'll get a personalized rate estimate without affecting your credit score. And now you can get a $100 cash bonus when you refinance a student loan with earnest.com/staples. Once again, you get a $100 cash bonus when you refi your student loan at earnest.com/staples. Not available in all states? Visit earnest.com/staples for more details. Terms and conditions apply. Earnest student loan refinance loans are made by Earnest Operations LLC, NMLS number 1204917. California Financing Law License Number 605-4788, 303 2nd Street, Suite 401 in San Francisco, California, 94107. Visit earnest.com/licenses for a full list of licensed states. Let's start with this. Right now, we are talking at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We are both here in Florida, and you know, we saw the same video of the Nebraska president, the system president, not the guy who's actually doing the voting, but saying there was going to be an announcement Tuesday night. And here we are, no announcement yet. Now, you said to me before we started recording, Randy, that you're not surprised by this.
I'm telling you, if there was going to be an announcement, don't you think Coach Day, Coach Combs, maybe even Gene Smith would be hitting Sean up? Nobody.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, so if there's going to be an announcement, they probably would be calling us.
Now, for those who don't know, your son Sean announced on Monday that he was going to opt out and start getting ready for the draft, but said, I saw several interviews where he said he's not signed with an agent yet. So, right, conceivably, if they decide to play, I would think that's Ryan Day's first phone call is Sean Wade and to Wyatt Davis, mm-hmm. who have opted out.
Yeah, Sean signs tomorrow at 6:30.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he will be off the table as of tomorrow night at 6:30.
Yeah, we having a tomorrow's his birthday, and we having a party for him. You know, so it's just he's excited to be in a new chapter. So we're excited for him.
So for you, because you know Sean is moving on to the NFL, but this fight to get the Big Ten playing again. It's been interesting watching you on Twitter trying to explain to people that this wasn't just about Sean getting a chance to play, mm-hmm. that you're trying to help all those players at Ohio State, all those players at Nebraska, Iowa, Penn State get a chance to play. How have this last month or so been for you since they decided to postpone on August 11th?
Busy, very busy, but I just enjoy joining fans to families because everybody thinks that kids pop out and they're just superstars. It's a process. It's a story for everybody. Everybody's story is different. And the thing about it, the mistakes that are made, a lot of the mistakes are the same. So if parents can talk to each other and tell their stories, those mistakes might not happen again. So I just love joining parents and fans because there's so many things that fans don't think about. There's so many things that coaches don't think about. It's a process. It's a process.
How tough has it been for you knowing how bad this team wanted to play together to watch all this unfold?
Oh, super tough. It's super tough. I mean, it's hard. So one of our goals, and mainly Sean's goal, was to win a championship, you know, was to be a captain, was to, you know, maybe try for the Thor Award or something like that. And to know that it's being stopped, it's sad. But you just cannot – when you're not going forward, you're going backwards, man. It's, when you're not going forward, you're going backwards. When you're in limbo, you're going backwards. People want him to just wait. That's not how life is. You know what I'm saying?
And Sean's already got his degree and everything, yeah, right? He didn't have to come back.
So he's taking classes that don't matter. He don't want a master's. I mean, that's something I want to fight too. I think that when a kid graduates, he shouldn't have to take classes no more. He did his student part. Let him finish out his athletic part. I just think that's crazy. Now, if someone wants to get their master's, go get it. But that's not what Sean wants to do.
Do the Matt Leinart thing and just take ballroom dancing. Like everybody should have that option to just take ballroom dancing and golf.
People say ballroom dancing. People say basket weaving. It sounds like it could work, but they don't have those classes like that no more. They don't have those.
Well, and you still got to go and you still got to pass them. So it's not. You actually got to work. Yeah. I took golf in college and it was way harder than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. And then you got to think. So for some of the classes, you got to have prerequisites. For some of them, luckily the easier ones are lower level, but you know, it's a lot to do. I mean, I was mad at Nick Bosa. I'm good friends with his dad now, and I was mad when he left, and we had that season that was 2018 season.
2018, yeah, he got hurt against TCU early, yeah.
Yeah, but once I thought about it, you know, I'm like, you know what? He has $1 million on the line. He don't know exactly how that injury is going to heal. Sean had the same injury, and He didn't want to play school anymore. I know that sounds negative, but a lot of these kids are playing school. A lot of them, you know, because they have no other option. The XFL is coming and going. I'm hoping The Rock can do something about that. But a lot of these kids are forced to go to school on their way to go to the NFL. You know,
right? And it really is the only way. Because I have that argument with people a lot, and they say, well, they could play in the CFL. Not really. There's only so many spots in the CFL for non-Canadian people, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of competition for them. So it's not a realistic option for most people. No. And you're right. If the XFL or the AAF was there for a minute, but now it's gone, but there is no other way. If you want to go to the NFL, you have to go through this system, and you've got the inside out look at that system the last few years. And I'm curious, you know, for you, what's been dealing with the Big Ten? What has dealing with the Big Ten been like this last month or so? Because one thing I sense just seeing you talk over the last month or so is the frustration of not getting any information out of them.
Yeah, so my message changed a lot, but it changed because the Big Ten changed. So people, you know, you see I don't really say transparency anymore because at the end of the day, forget transparency if you're going to let us play. I don't care what you do. You know what I'm saying?
They can do it as dirty as they want if they let them play.
As dirty as they want to. If you're going to let us play, forget transparency. So my message had to change. And then my message had to change when the movement got bigger, when we started doing the Big Ten Parents Association Big Ten Parents United, stuff like that. So I had to align my message with them because they're the more permanent people that's going to be here. So that's why my message had to change. But it's frustrating. It's like being married to a woman that is scorned and like that. You tell them you love them, you want to talk to them and stuff like that, but it's no answer. It's no nothing. You know, it's that, like that same type of thing, man. It's crazy. No, they have not came. If you go to the website, I think the last thing that's on their website is talking about the schedule coming out for the first, the second time it was changed. That's the last thing on their website.
Wow. Yeah, that was like August 5th, and then August 11th they postponed.
Yep.
And the last really public statement from Kevin Warren, the commissioner, I think was August 19th or somewhere around there. So yeah, there hasn't been a lot of information flown out. You mentioned something, and we talked about this when we were on the phone earlier, the Big Ten Parents Association. I've noticed, you know, you've gotten to know some parents from Nebraska and from Iowa and from Penn State and Wisconsin through this process. And you had a great idea, just a Big Ten Parents Association that would represent the players. It would be their parents organized representing the players. And you'd like that organization to have its president with an office in the Big Ten office.
Yes. To get bigger issues to affect kids. There's so many big issues that affect these young men and women that are not solved in the best interest of those kids. If you have a parents association, they would not care about winning because they care about the kids in the Big Ten. They would not care about recruiting rankings. They wouldn't care about, you know, everybody else has to care about that. They have to because it's their job or they're going to get fired. But if you have somebody that had a back.
Your job is to care about your kid.
Yeah, your job is to care about a kid. And so if we could have an organization that was put together that could somehow help, it would be awesome. It would be awesome.
I think that should be a national thing.
Yeah.
I think that would be great if there was an NCAA Parents Association where and there'd be one, you know, there'd be one in the Big Ten, one in the Pac-12, one in the ACC, one in the SEC. Like every league would have one. I think that's great because who knows the kids better? And I'm with you on motivations. I'm always interested in people's motivation for everything.
Mm-hmm.
The parents' motivation is probably going to be the purest.
Sure, yes.
If you just line everybody up.
Yep. I mean, and like we talked before about when Urban Meyer talked about the fact that when you go to championships, and you don't have the money, the parents don't have the money back to back to keep going to those games, and Urban Meyer changes stuff like that. Simple stuff like that.
That was Ohio State parents. I remember that crew of parents was very outspoken.
Mm-hmm.
They were very organized
together.
I remember I did a story for my former employer on Michael Bennett and talking to his mom, and she was pretty active in that group. And you know, they made sure that their kids were taken care of. And that people weren't trying to take advantage of them.
Yes, it
and
is.
I think that's
it is.
That's the key.
You got, I mean, to keep it 100. One day, Urban Meyer told my wife that we should write a book because one day I will let people know, even though no matter how good these people are, everybody has their agenda coming, whether it's a position coach, whether it's a head coach, whether it's an agent, whether it's a financial advisor, and you have good ones and you have bad ones. And these kids go and these parents go through all these issues over and over and over again because the answer is not, you know, I can fix my washing machine on the internet, but the answer for the stuff we go through is not on the internet. Nobody's talking about it.
Yeah, there's no YouTube video for that.
No.
And I've argued about this for years, especially in recruiting, that the coaches take advantage of the fact that the parents don't know how the system works.
Yes.
They're almost all, unless you had a kid go through it before, or you're at a high school that consistently produces, although Sean went to a high school that consistently produces good players,
mm-hmm.
but those are the only people who have even a clue of how the system works and how to use leverage in their favor. It's tough. I mean, I'd read that book. I mean, somebody needs to write that book just to help the parents of the kids that are coming along in the next few years.
Yeah, definitely. I'm working on it. So not the book, but you know, through my podcast and through my YouTube show, I'm having parents that's been through it to give that information out. We call it breaking bread, you know.
Breaking bread. So if they wanted to find your YouTube channel, what would you search for? Breaking bread?
No. So my YouTube channel is called it's called the 10-4 YouTube show. Like I said, we got Jalen Ramsey Daddy on there. We have matter of fact, we have Damon Tabor. He's on there. I don't know if you know him from Draft. Drive Diamonds. We have Michael Parsons' dad on there. We have a lot of different women and men that's been through something. They're actually trying to help the community. And also, I have a podcast called Daddy's Ball Podcast where I interview all kind of people about their process to help other people through their process.
No matter what fitness fad you follow, one thing is true across every one of them. You have to get hydrated and stay hydrated. The best way to do that is liquid IV. It is the most efficient way to get and stay hydrated because each serving helps you get as much hydration as 2 to 3 bottles of water. Why is that? It's the optimal ratio of glucose, sodium, and potassium delivered into your bloodstream. I live in a place where it is scorching hot, very humid, lose a lot of water when I go out running. I drink a liquid IV beforehand. I drink a liquid IV when I get back. It feels great. Partial to the acai berry before, lemon lime on the way back. I'm not sure exactly why it works out that way, but those are my favorites. Also, if you've celebrated a little bit, it doesn't have to be a workout thing. Maybe I had a neighbor who was testing out smoked old fashions, and maybe I had a few. Maybe I had one too many. When I got home, I drank a liquid IV right before bed. I felt fantastic in the morning. So how do you get yourself some liquid IV? You go to liquidiv.com and you use the code ATHLETIC at checkout, and you get 25% off anything you order. That is 25% off anything you order when you use the promo code ATHLETIC at liquidiv.com. So get better hydration today at liquidiv.com, promo code ATHLETIC. That is such helpful information because it's nobody's been through it until they've been through it for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to find that information. So you actually have created the podcast version of the YouTube video of how to fix your washing machine. By the way, I once fixed a dryer using a YouTube video and nearly shocked myself to death.
Yeah.
You got to be a little bit careful with those.
Yeah, I don't think you can sue YouTube. I don't think so.
No. But you're exactly right because this is stuff that it's high level stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't had a kid go through it, you're not going to know it. And, you know, you've been dealing with this on a different level because now I imagine you never thought when Sean went to play for Ohio State that you would wind up becoming kind of a leader of an organization.
No.
Trying to get people to play football again.
No, when I bought those tickets, all I wanted to do was take a stance for young men that wanted to play, that worked so hard and needed to be able to have a chance to play.
This is when you bought the plane tickets to go up to Chicago to go to the Big Ten office.
Yep,
and
yep.
It's funny because I got mad about that because people were laughing at you guys for going there. They're like, oh, the Big Ten people aren't even working there. I'm saying if there are a bunch of parents of really good Big Ten football players standing there, you don't think that's going to send a message?
Yeah, and I don't care what nobody says. Those small group of parents and the consistency of parents coming together made everything work. Don't get me wrong, Justin Fields started that fire, but once we jumped on and did what we did, it was embarrassing because actually it was more media there than parents. Actually, it was more policemen there. They had helicopters flying over and everything. They did, man. It was crazy. But
you guys are probably like, what are we? Wait. Are we supposed to be? What are we doing here?
Yeah, I was so scared because I had to walk up to the policeman, and you know, high ranking police officers, and I was like, how you doing, sir? I'm Randy Wade, you know, blah blah. He said, I just want to show you this what you need to follow and stuff like that. He said, you don't got to worry about it. I got my camera on. I'm like, huh? What you got your camera? I know you got your camera on. What's the problem? You know what I'm saying? It was crazy. It was funny.
That's crazy.
It's funny.
Well, and you think about it, the Nebraska players who sued the Big Ten, that's the only reason we know there was a vote.
Yeah.
And we know what the vote was.
Yep. Yep.
Because nobody else seems to want to tell the truth about that.
Yep. They don't. And like I said, something was wrong with that. I don't know how you're supposed to do it or whatever like that, but something was kind of crazy, kind of wacky about that. We're talking about 3 days. 3 days.
Yeah.
3 days to say no. We on day 32 to try to get a yes. Day 32. 3 days to say no because you seen one video. You know, from what
how happy will you be if they come out at some point and as far as we know, it could be tonight or tomorrow morning. If they come out at some point and say, okay, you can play. Here are the dates. You're going to play.
I will be elated because I've heard the stories and met the parents, haven't met the kids yet, of different schools in the Big Ten and the situations they're waiting on. Some of these kids don't have enough film for the NFL. Some of these kids are just trying to get on the field. I got kids that's been waiting for like 3 years, 3-4 years to get on the field, and it's their only time. One of the parents said a good thing, like you cannot bring back time. some of these parents have grandparents that's old. They might not be here next year. You know what I'm saying? Now they have a chance to see them play. It's just, I'll be elated, man. I'll be a Bear site.
Well, it's one of those things. I'm wondering now, do you have to be kind of a Nebraska fan and kind of an Iowa fan and kind of a Penn State fan now that you've met all these parents?
Yeah. I'm definitely going to be watching those kids, man. Definitely, man. Because, like I said, those conversations were hard. It was tough conversations. So we had I forgot his name. He's an ESPN guy on one of our calls. But we had some hard conversations because, some people wanted to sue. Some people didn't want to sue. Some people – understood the social media presence. And then we had people who drafted letters, but in the letters we didn't agree and did agree with certain things that was in the letters. So it was a hard situation.
Well, good luck to you. You got a big day coming up tomorrow in your family, mm-hmm. but maybe there'll be some big news between now and then as well on the Big Ten football front. But how proud of you are you of this group of parents for keeping the fight alive?
Very proud, because at the end of the day, when we say fight, we're saying fight, because we don't know. We didn't know we was going to make a change. We didn't know this. We just had to, expend all our resources, do things that we didn't know we would get any kind of response from. And no matter what people say, they can't take this from us. We fought, man. We fought. Kevin Warren said, he said, it would not be revisited. You know what? It was revisited, and we fought. Yes, sir.
Randy Wade, thank you so much, and happy birthday to your son tomorrow, and have fun.
Okay. Hey, Michael Perry said, told me to tell you what's up.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. Very nice. So I guess I know who you're signing with.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice.
Big time.
Yeah. Michael Parrott is an agent, by the way, for those who don't know. I met him when he was representing Marcus Lattimore, and I was doing a story on Marcus's rehab from that horrific knee injury against Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And I always tell Michael he has a radar for the good dudes from Ohio State.
For real. Appreciate it.
Like Joshua Perry.
Yeah.
He's got a good eye.
Yeah, so. You're right, man. You're right. I appreciate it, man.
Very nice. Thank you, Randy.
All right.